All right, let's take the Word of God and go into a very interesting passage that will give us insight that I think can be a great help in our perspective even this week. Daniel chapter 10, please. Daniel chapter 10. The people of God, nation of Israel, through the decree of Cyrus, had gone back to the land. Answer to Daniel's prayer of chapter 9. God answers prayer. But only 50,000 had gone. There were lots of needs with the nation of Israel. Plus, the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 had made it clear there's going to be a lot of suffering ahead for the people of God. So Daniel continues to intercede, realizing that even greater victory needed to be accomplished. This was the foundation for the Lord to do greater work. And he firmly believed that fasting and prayer would make a difference. This time it's a little bit, or quite a bit different than chapter 9. Chapter 9, he prays for a little bit, then he's interrupted. The angel had been sent from heaven, it was Gabriel, and interrupts him and then gives him the vision that we very much appreciate, the 490-year, 70-weeks vision. Here, we read in verse 2, "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. We find in verse 3, he had a moderate fast going on, and a man at 90 years of age, that was a big deal for him to be doing that. And then, I believe we have a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. And verses 5 and 6 match Revelation chapter 1. And here Christ reveals himself to Daniel in his glory, and Daniel was deeply moved. And as I mentioned last week, folks, to those who care about what God cares about, he reveals himself to them. One of those precious things of prayer is just meeting with God. It really is. Well, after that we'll pick it up at verse 10. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 8. "Therefore, I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." Now, folks, let me just say this. This is one important facet. The more you seriously pray and God begins to reveal himself, the weaker you feel. The more you realize your own need. And there is a struggle in this matter of breaking through in prayer, because you see the greatness of God, you realize the enormity of the spiritual reality of it, and you see your own weakness. And there is such a temptation right when you're about to have victory in prayer to collapse. And here we find Daniel just wiped out. I'm sure many of you have had the experience after prayer and fasting, and more than just the physical aspect of it, when you have really spent time with God and God has met with you, I find that those are some of the most vulnerable moments I have, because I am so weak. I'm weak physically and I just feel my weakness. But it's at those times that God will begin to work. Verse 9, "Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground." This was a great vision of the Savior that he had had. Verse 10, "And behold, an hand touched me." This is the hand of an angel. Could be Gabriel, not named here. "Which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard." Now, folks, in this matter of prayer, we have to understand, if our hearts are open to the Lord and the Spirit of God is working, and even if we're having to get to the place where the Spirit of God is working, God hears our words. It's immediate. The answers are not immediate, because God is doing something in us. And as we're going to see tonight, there's a spiritual battle going on. But one of the greatest aspects of faith that you need to exercise when you're really interceding for something is that when you finish, to state clearly to God, I know you heard me and you are moving, even though you can't see it. I think it's a very important aspect here of that. Now, I want you to notice the personal nature of this. The angel touched him. On behalf of God, the angel, and I think it's probably Gabriel, since the same one was, Gabriel was in chapter 9, he gives him strength to be able to get up, understand the vision, and the Lord is very tender. He calls him greatly beloved again. You see, we are beloved of the Lord not because he just fatalistically chooses us. John was the disciple that Jesus loved. Why did Jesus love him in that unique way? Because John loved him in that unique way. And folks, it ought to be our heart's desire as we look back at chapter 9 to be beloved of the Lord. And the Lord gave him strength. I love the illustration of a very famous preacher at the beginning of the 1900s, a real leader, A.C. Dixon. He says, a dear friend of mine who was quite a lover of the chase told me the following story. Rising early one morning, he said, I heard the baying of a score of deerhounds in the pursuit of their quarry. Looking away to the broad open field in front of me, I saw a young fawn making its way across and giving signs, moreover, that its race was well nigh run. Reaching the rails of the enclosure, it leaped over and crouched within 10 feet from where I stood. A moment later, two of the hounds came over. When the fawn ran in my direction, it pushed its head between my legs. I lifted the little thing to my breast and, swinging round and round, fought off the dogs. I felt just then that all the dogs in the West could not and should not capture that fawn after its weakness had appealed to my strength. So it is when human helplessness appeals to Almighty God, God puts his arms around us. Wonderful story. God wants us to understand he's God. He wants us to understand our need. And he wants us to understand how much he does love us. Intercession that makes a difference reveals our weakness. As we see God, we feel extremely weak. But I promise you, number one, God will give you a vision of himself. And number two, he will meet you in your weakness. Just when you think you can't go on, all of a sudden, his strength is there. Now, folks, you don't learn these things without taking time, like Daniel, to pray. And there's a lot that could be said there, but I had to mention that. And so we find here this veil of what goes on in the heavenlies now pulled away from between us and the heavenlies for just a moment here. In verse 12, I read the fact that he says, don't fear, Daniel. From the moment you started your prayer, God heard. But what I want you to notice is the last phrase. I didn't quote it. And I am come for thy words. You see, 3 weeks ago, the command from God for, let's say, Gabriel, if that's who it is, to come to give the answer had been given, and yet it took 3 weeks. Now, you remember in chapter 9, you had a fairly good prayer that went on before Gabriel showed up, which shows there's distance between where Gabriel was and where we are. Gabriel could move quickly, but there's still time and dimension. Here, it's not time that comes from space. There was a spiritual battle that was going on. And he allows us to see it here. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. All right, one verse that just opens up a lot to us. We know this is not speaking of the human prince of Persia, because Michael, the archangel, is mentioned here, well, the one who delivered. We are talking about principalities in the heavenlies. We are talking about the highest of all created beings in the angelic world, and you have Michael, the greatest of all of the angelic beings that did not fall, and then you have here the Prince of Persia, one of the greatest, probably the one next to Lucifer as far as the greatest power that did fall. Now, what we see here is behind all of the movements of that day going on in the ancient world, there were demonic powers. Now, what was the kingdom that had now taken over? Persia. The Medo-Persian Empire. Cyrus the Great. Daniel was under Darius, the governor, that was governing over the Babylonian region of the Medo-Persian Empire. Brother Michael's here. The demon of Iran is what we have here, except it's much bigger than that. That's pretty staggering, isn't it? Think about the demons behind the U.S. and Russia and other powers in China. You can fast forward to today, and you know it's real. Now, folks, let me say this. The reason you need to pray 1 Timothy 2 for all those that are in authority is that every president of the United States faces Lucifer himself, I am positive. And our presidents have faced this very Prince of Persia, I'm convinced. If you ever see pictures of presidents when they enter office and leave office, the aging that takes place, certainly the pressure of the office is great, but I'm not sure I would really want to be in the Oval Office. And many times, things that really confuse us about those in the Oval Office, there is a spiritual battle going on. Every major world war, every great conflict, every great conquest, when we get to heaven, we're going to find out the big picture of what went on. So here we have the angel Gabriel, sent from God. He is ready to come to Daniel. It would only take him a short period of time to get to Daniel, but now, who's in charge of Daniel from a human standpoint, and who's controlling the world at that point? Persia. And so this powerful demonic power stops this time Gabriel from coming to Daniel. We don't know how. We don't know how their battle goes on, but it was a real battle. In fact, clearly this demonic force had greater power than the angel that was dispatched to talk to Daniel. And this was an angel of great power. He was delivered by the guardian of Israel, Michael the archangel himself. Michael the archangel clearly then had more power than the prince of Persia. Very interesting. So we see there are different levels, principalities, powers, and so on, that we have, and they're listed in different ways in Scripture. Then I want you to notice, he says, I'm coming, and I won't read these verses. He said, I'm coming to tell you about what's going to happen. Of course, chapter 11 is the vision that he gave. But then if you look down at verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I have am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now, at this point in history, Greece still was no big deal. Macedonia and Greece. But there was a demonic power working in that people group that would eventually bring Philip of Macedonia to power, which would bring Alexander the Great to power, and would cause the Grecian Empire to be able to, in very quick order, smash down the Medo-Persian Empire. And so we get an insight here that there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. And so there are battles for four different aspects of the nation of Israel today, for the Church of the Living God, that go on behind the scenes, and we cannot conjecture what all that means or how that happens. But let me just say, folks, why did Michael was able to defeat the prince of Persia. There was a man who was praying for 3 weeks. He couldn't overcome. Gabriel couldn't. But he kept praying. He kept praying. And Michael was sent, and God allowed him to have this answer to prayer. You say, well, can't God do anything? God follows created order. And this is one of the great mysteries. You've got to understand. The most powerful exercise of any kind of work on God's behalf on this planet is prayer. Because prayer connects with the throne of God and enables God then to take the power and the angelic forces that he has and then accomplish his will. But God waits for people to pray. That's a mystery to me, but that's how God has done it. The reason is God doesn't violate the will of man. One of the greatest dangers in this whole matter of prayer is to get a fatalistic mentality. It's just going to happen anyway. That's not what the Bible teaches. Daniel sought the Lord, as Jeremiah 29 said, with all of his heart. God met with him, and God ended the 70-year captivity. God answered prayer. And so there's a battle going on. Folks, this isn't some idea. We have here the veil just slightly opened for us to understand what's going on. Now, something I want to mention here that's very encouraging. Who is created a little lower than the angels? It's all of us. Man, we are on the low end of the totem pole. Now, God loves us. We're made in his image. But as far as power, as far as innate power, we're created on the lowest rung. Then you have, in this whole lineup, you have Gabriel, who clearly has more power than man. But then you had Satan's top, one of his top lieutenants, the prince of Persia, who had greater power than Gabriel. Then you had Michael the archangel on God's side, who had more power than either one of those angels. But I got good news for you. God has more power than all of them combined. Now, that wonderful verse, when it comes to our relationship to God and to Satan, greater, just say it with me, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That's speaking of Satan. I failed to mention, you have the prince of, you have Michael, but who's greater than Michael? Lucifer, I forgot that part. He's the most powerful of all of the created beings. In fact, in Jude, you find that Michael had to call upon God to enable him over the body of in the battle over the body of Moses. God keeps order. Look at the universe. It's a perfect order. But in you, if you're a believer here tonight, is God Almighty. God Almighty, who can send Michael. God Almighty, who can do great and mighty things, who has great angelic hosts with great power. And greater is he that is in us than Lucifer, than Michael, than the prince of Persia, than the prince of Greece, than Gabriel, than man. And that's a great blessing. And God brings us into union with him. Folks, when we hear in Christ or Christ in us, that ought to thrill our hearts. We talked this morning about what it is to be living the life of Christ. That means we're living the life of the victor. And Satan will be defeated every time. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The armor of God is complete and cannot be overcome when we are walking in the Spirit. It concludes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. When the power of the Spirit is enabling us to pray, we have the greatest power known on earth and in heaven. Honestly, folks, we feel Satan's victory today. We look at the powers of political powers, entertainment, educational power and what's happening internationally, and we almost takes our breath away. But we need to understand that the Satan who controls all of that, to the simplest Christian who is filled with the Spirit and who is fully on God's side and genuinely praying, he cowers in front of that Christian because the resurrected, ascended Christ is now taking the ground with that believer, and Satan has to back off. Don't blame Satan. Blame your lack of submission. Yes, Satan does all kinds of things, but folks, if we will stay truly walking in the Spirit and resist the devil because we're in complete submission to God, we are in great, we're in a great place to see God work. Folks, if we're created the lowest, Satan is way up here and he has many levels of demonic powers that are way more powerful than us, don't you think it's pretty foolish to not be filled with the Spirit? It just doesn't make any sense. It's not a matter of, and the greatest thing is we want to glorify God and love Him with all of our heart. But if you want to just use spiritual common sense, you don't go into the battlefield unarmed. I'll guarantee you this week, if you're part of really endeavoring to reach people and there's something between you and the Lord and you're not filled with the Spirit and you're not on the victory side and you're not seeking God and you're not taking your stand against the evil one, this could be a rough week. It doesn't mean that there won't be battles if you are trusting the Lord, but I'm telling you, you will see God everywhere you turn because God will work. Well, we're going to look at this passage from the inside aspect of it as it leads into chapter 11 next week. But I wanted to just take this one aspect here tonight and encourage you to understand that this matter of prayer is powerful. If we will all, tonight and tomorrow, really get a hold of God, we could see the greatest work ever done. There is no demonic power that can withstand the force of a believer indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, the reigning monarch, over the king, the spiritual kingdom of heaven. There's nothing that can resist that Christian's prayers. And so I trust you'll really take this to heart. May every one of us truly be yielded to the Lord, and let's meet with God in these days. Let's bow for prayer. Oh, I tell you, the most important thing we can learn, folks, is to go through our weakness and pray through until we see the victory. It is a spiritual battle. Humanly, we're no match for it. But we have all the equipment we need. We got the armor of God. We've got the indwelling of God Himself. We have the position of Christ in the heavenlies. And we can see victory. But it's got to come. It's got to come through prayer and through and genuine surrender, dependence upon God. Tonight you'd say, Pastor, I really do want to get a hold of the fact that the most important thing I can do is depend upon God. And I don't want to get weary in my prayer life. I don't want to get weary in the battle. And I need to have my eyes opened just like the angel was good to Daniel to open his eyes so he can understand what all's going on. And all that God was allowing to occur. We don't see it all, but we can know God is working. He answers our prayer the minute we pray them. There may be a battle before we see the answer, but we needed to keep praying, and Daniel's 3 weeks made a difference. And we need to keep praying also. And you'd say, Pastor, I need to understand this more. I just simply need to know my God and to believe the importance of me seeking Him. Would you pray for me that I will really get a hold of this in my life? With heads bowed, if that's your heart, if you just want to slip your hand up just to be decisive about that, all right, God bless you. If there's someone here tonight and you're not saved, my friend, you're in bad shape. You're part of the kingdom that's controlled by the evil one, the god of this world, he is called. But if you'll turn to Jesus and just say, Lord, I want you to save me, he will. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you'd say, Pastor, if I were to die, I'm not sure what would happen to me, but I'm burdened about it. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just join these others. Slip up your hand. We don't want to miss you here tonight if God's working in your heart. Now, Lord, we're in a battle. This is not a small thing. Massive armies march because of demonic powers. We certainly see that in Revelation. Big things happen. But the greatest battle is not in the political realm. It is for the church, the advance of the church of the living God. Looking at the intense persecution where the church is going forward shows the hatred of Satan for the work of God. And yet you see the deliverance of God over and over as God's people seek you. Now, Lord, we're in a very important time. We need to learn to pray with power and to believe that if we will submit ourselves to you, that Satan must flee. We believe that. We don't need to live in morbid fear. We only need to have a respect for the reality of it, but a total confidence in you. Now, Lord, would you give that to each of these folks that indicated their desire to become stronger in their prayer life and understanding this reality? Lord, just bless in these days ahead. Give great victory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.